Isaiah's prophecy, please, in chapter 10. Now, as for my medication, if you were to speak to my children, they would tell you they haven't made one yet that works. So, very sorry to inform you. But this time of day, you might think I need a little, but we'll do the best that we can. It's amazing how, nothing against what we've heard, amazing how well we can speak about husbands and wives when they're not here. But anyhow, reminded of a fella, and he's really having some difficulties. So he went to his pastor and he said, "Listen, I got something I got to confess to you." Well, he says, "What's your problem?" He says, "My wife and I, we fight every day." "Oh, no," he said, "not every day." He said, "every day." And he says, pastor said, "And what does she do?" "Well," he says, "she comes crawling to me on her hands and knees." "Oh, no," he says, "you can't allow that." He says, "What does she say?" He says, "She looks under her bed and says, 'Why don't you come out and fight like a man?'" Now, to my good friend back there doing the recording, would you please just erase that part? It has absolutely nothing to do with what we want to speak about, but just to keep things in their perspective. Though I've appreciated the ministry, John knows that we've received this afternoon, but that's what happens there in the medication. Isaiah in chapter 10 and verse number 18 will really be the text. I'm going to read some verses just prior to it and after to give you the link. Verse 18 of Isaiah 10. "And shall consume the glory of his forest and of his fruitful field, both soul and body, and they," that is these people, "shall be as when a standard bearer fainteth." Now, go back just to verse number 13, same chapter. "For he saith," now this is Sennacherib speaking, this wicked king that was such an enemy of Israel, "for he saith, by the strength of my hand I have done it, and by my wisdom, for I am prudent." Notice what he says. "For I have removed the bounds of the people, and I've robbed their treasures." Two things go together. Remove the bounds, you rob the treasures. "And I put down the inhabitants like a valiant man." Now over to chapter 11. We were in chapter 10. Over to chapter 11 of Isaiah. I'm going to read about one who is yet to come. And the prophet says, "And he shall set up an ensign for the nations," or a standard for the nations, "and shall assemble the outcast of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth." Very significant verse to follow. "The envy of Ephraim shall depart, and the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim." The close of the conference, I want to speak on the standard bearer. The standard bearer. Now, you'll go through your Bible and not read a whole lot about the standard bearer. You'll read about standards. And you will read about fainting and those that couldn't stand. But we do read about the standard bearer. Whether it was the tribe representing their particular tribe of Judah, Levi, whatever it was, as they marched, as they moved, there had to be a standard bearer for that tribe. Now, as far as I know, well, not everyone could be a standard bearer. There was nothing that said he had to be a priest. There's nothing that said that he had to be a prophet or a preacher. The standard bearer's occupation was open. There was obviously qualifications that he had to have that we know better than that. As far as I know, he wasn't anointed, and maybe he was appointed. But it was something that was open at some time in the experience for one who could be the standard bearer of that tribe and that company. I want to give it a very personal but scriptural application today when it comes to our lives. Let me ask you, young brother, older person today, are you a standard bearer in the testimony of which you form a part? In other words, could fellow believers really look to you, look up to you and say, "There's a standard. Or would you be like Jonah when he's down standing on the wharf and going in an opposite direction? Said, not now. Listen, we can't sing that anywhere with Jesus. I can go, not just now. Not just now. Or can they look up to you with confidence as a standard bearer in this testimony? I did something this morning. I wasn't going to tell you I did it, but I did. Before the meeting started. All my experience, I don't think I've done it before. Maybe I didn't have the tool to do it. But my iPhone is on silent. And I took a picture, because of where I was sitting, of two rows of young men on either side of that table in the center, dressed very commendably, very much. Clean-cut men. Now, I know those brethren aren't perfect. I know they have their own challenges. But I want to say, when it comes to the outward appearance, there's a standard there. I looked the row just behind them, and equally so, there were sisters. And I could commend them for the very same way. Anytime you want to move to the Maritimes, you come along. I'd love to have you. I mean that. This is serious stuff. You see, every believer in that testimony, just as they did in the nations, they did in the tribe, there was something instinctively that took them to someone. Who do we look to here? Not just a mentor, but who really seeks to hold the standard? When Disney productions were opening, Walt Disney, and that is Disney World in Anaheim, California, the first big one they had, Mrs. Walter's wife is actually there, the founder of Disney World. And someone leaned over to her, one of the executives leaned over to her and said this. She says, too bad. Walt couldn't have seen this. She says, no, she's not a businesswoman. She says, I'm sorry to tell you, but he did. He did. And that's why this is here. And that's why you're here. I'm standing on a platform. I'm saying this because I'm in Jackson today. Because there's other places I can stand. Do you understand? There were brethren that stood on this platform. There were overseers, shepherds, that sat in this building. They're gone. They set a standard. Because you know what they saw? What we're enjoying today. Back home, an assembly that hadn't had a conference for years. The conference was recovered after maybe 20 or 22 years. I sat with a man and his wife that were there almost from the foundation, the start of the testimony. And they wept. They wept with joy. They said, we wondered. We wondered if we would ever, now listen to the words that they're saying, see this again. When Clifford, an overseer in that assembly, was blind as he spoke. Because I can't see them, Brother McCandless, but I can hear the joy of this company. His wife and other sisters met in a home unbeknown to others and prayed for the recovery of things in their midst. Do you know what those sisters were? They were standard bearers. You know what they did? They died as standard bearers. And in this company today, other testimonies that are represented are standard bearers. Are you prepared to be one, brother? Do you want to be one? Come on, do you really? Do you want to be a standard bearer? Do you want to go back? Is it the standard bearer doesn't stand up or kind of make some kind of announcement? Well, no, I'm the one that you're really looking for. It's me. No, he doesn't do that. He's not seeking position. And please understand that it's not just outward appearance I'm talking about today. But you remember this, that God would go on with Samson in places that he had been violating the vow of the Nazarite until the outward evidence of his Nazariteship was gone. When it was gone, God was done with him. Those shears came, it was gone, God was finished it. So, the prophet's lament says, they shall be as when a standard bearer fainteth. And that's what has happened earlier in the chapter. Well, what really has happened? Well, Sennacherib is actually boasting. He says this in verse number 13, I have removed the bounds of the people. And he says, I have, notice how brazen he is, I have robbed their treasures. I have robbed their treasures. In other words, I've taken things that are very precious to them. Brethren, if we don't watch it, do you understand? There's an enemy without that's determined to steal things associated with personal testimony and assembly testimony that others have paid dearly for. They left with the scorn of their family ringing in their ears to gather with the rejected, isolated, despised people that gathered in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They bore the brunt of it. I come from a rich family heritage. I'm so thankful about it. I don't say it boastingly. I say it humbly. God have mercy upon me. Have mercy upon my soul. If I don't realize, not just a name to live up to because of that past, but the privilege of being raised with such family connections. How about you today? Grandfather roll in his grave if he knew the way you're acting? If he was a godly man? Break grandma's heart if she knew the way you're carrying on? Or could she be like Hezekiah? Did he see that day coming when a young boy, Josiah, long ways down the line from him, would be the man he was? I have tapped more than one brother on the shoulder more than once and said to him, you'd make your grandfather proud. Maybe it's the wrong thing to say, maybe it's the right thing to say, but that's the absolute truth. Why? Because of the standard. And there was a standard bearer. Now, the reason I read to you in chapter 11 is that ultimately the standard bearer is Christ. I'm going to show you how the standard bearer today is Christ. And it says, he shall reign, he shall set up an ensign of the nations, and they shall assemble the outcast of Israel. In other words, he'll gather them back, the outcast of Israel, and the dispersed of Judah, from the four corners of the earth. What's happened? Tells you in the next verse. The envy of Ephraim shall depart, and the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim and Judah, always kind of at odds. Ephraim was a very jealous tribe. Judah had its faults too. But there was always this friction between them. Almost like two camps. Almost like two scenes of conflict. But listen, the prophet doesn't stop there. He says, Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim. Now, Ephraim was never the tribe Judah was. Numerically, far bigger. Spiritually, far smaller. Far smaller. But come back to what he's saying here in verse number 18, as we have read it in chapter 10. So who is the standard bearer? Well, it'll help you if you go to the Song of Songs. That answers the question very clearly. What does the song we read in Song of Songs 5, verse 10? My beloved is white and ruddy. My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. The word for chiefest is standard bearer. That's where you've got the word. Just a biblical dictionary to show you that. So the standard bearer ultimately is Christ. He's the one that holds the standard. Those standards will fall and crumble as they have done with the nation. Isaiah reminds us there's coming a day. But all this envy about this place and that place, Ephraim and Judah, house of David and house of Saul. Those distinctions and those differences will be done away with. They shall be one people under the Lord. My, we long for that day, don't we? Long for that day when we shall be one, gathered to Him. But until then, my business is not to vex Ephraim. Other places, well, you say, what is Ephraim? Let me apply it. What it was in the Old Testament? Hey, now listen, wait a minute. Joshua came from Ephraim. Ephraim didn't mind that as long as Joshua was their man. But when Joshua was done, Ephraim was done too. Joshua knew how to handle the Ephraimites because they're his own people. Remember when they came and complained, hey, our possession's very small, we're a big people. He said, get up and possess the land you've got. They shall be as when the standard bearer fainteth. Remember what Isaiah says again? Over that range of prophecies during the king of Ahaz, when you get to chapter 59, what does he say? When the enemy shall come in, how? Like a flood. The Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against them. He shall lift up a standard against them. In other words, well, that's as far as you're coming. We have brethren amongst us today. Don't you kid yourself. We have brethren and sisters that are standard bearers in our assemblies. We couldn't survive without them. And I can point to them and say, there's a standard. There's a standard bearer. Look at that sister. Look at how she conducts herself. Look at how she lives her life. I can say, I can't be like her. That's fine. She's way older. Well, wait a minute. Wait a minute. She was once your age too. She once had challenges that you don't have today. And you have them that she didn't. And that doesn't excuse it. Because wide open to us today is the option of really being the standard bearer. Remember Jeremiah says, set up the standard to work towards Zion. Now, Jerusalem, whenever you read of Jerusalem, it's usually the thought of government. When you read of Zion, it's the thought of grace. So he says this, set up the standard towards Zion. So any standard that we seek to maintain in our lives, it should be marked by the grace of God, not by his law. Okay, it's not like, this is me, and there's a legal covenant sort of a thing that is about us, shrouds us, and we kind of live on that. We want everybody else to live up to our standard. I don't set that standard. But we read about a standard bearer fainting. Alexander the Great, well, as he was known or called, loved his name, Alexander. Saw a young man in his army one day, and he just didn't seem to be right in tune with the army. Just didn't seem to be into things. He called over one of his generals. He says, what's that young man's name down there? General went and found out. He came back to him. He says, his name is Alexander. He says, tell him I want to talk to him. He came up to him, fear and trembling. Alexander looked into his face and he said, your name, sir? He said, Alexander. He said, so is mine. He says, either live up to your name or out of here. I'm not trying to live up to the name of my grandparents. I couldn't do it. You know the name I'd like to live up to, try to, is the name I bear. The name I bear is not known as the surname in government circles. It's the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And there's nothing wrong with giving him that full title or taking time to do it. I'm not onto this Jesus, this is Jesus, that. Only referred to mostly in the Bible by his enemies is Jesus. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I am not saying that when I'm preaching the gospel or ministering the word or trying to, that I don't use the name Jesus. Because I do. But I love it when I can give him his full title. Because he's the chiefest among 10,000. He is, as I say, the standard bearer. So the standard was inseparably linked with their name, as Judah was. Remember, Judah was the tribe of praise. And unfortunately, they didn't at times live up to that. But what does Sennacherib say? He says this. He says, you know, I've removed their bounds. I've taken away their boundaries. I mean, go back to the beginning of her Bible. The book of Deuteronomy, by the way, just for your own information, is actually referred to 80 times in our New Testament. No other book is referred to more than the book of Deuteronomy in the New Testament. When it came to the temptation, where's the Lord Jesus quote from? The book of Deuteronomy. And as you go through the book of Deuteronomy, it tells us what God has really done for his people. What he divided unto them, the Most High divided the nations, their inheritance. He separated the sons of Adam. He set the bounds of the people. Exodus chapter 19. Thou shalt set up the bounds for thy people. Exodus chapter 23. I will set the bounds unto them, unto the Red Sea, said the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 50, set up, lift up the standard towards Zion, retire, stay not, for I will bring evil from the north. In other words, there is judgment coming. Where's the standard bearer? When things start to come in that door, you can be thankful for men here that are standard bearers. They say, no, just a minute now. We got to talk about this, brethren. It's not just a case of, well, we haven't done this before, and let me just say Jackson because I'm here, but it's not in this book. Okay, this book wouldn't sanction it. It wouldn't allow it. It would take something from the dignity and the integrity and the honor of the name that we seek to bear and of the standard that we seek to uphold. I mean, in all honesty, what loving partner in a marriage doesn't appreciate or respect the other's boundaries? And when that boundary is ignored, what do you have? Disaster. Now, and I concur with what Brother Sharp says, the only thing I use sports for is illustrations, to be honest with you. And I don't subscribe to Sports Illustrated, by the way, but I do use it for illustrations. But I'm not a Tiger Woods fan. To be honest with you, I don't even know how the game of golf is played. But I did find it interesting what he said. He was being interviewed just a little while ago, just maybe a month and a half ago. Tiger Woods, as he was being interviewed, and of course being interviewed by the media, as you would know, he said, "I have got to confess to being a person that thought only about myself." He said, "I ran straight through the boundaries that I knew a married couple should live by." You know what he said? "I ran through the boundaries that I knew a married couple should live by." He said, "I thought I could get away with whatever I wanted to. I felt that I'd worked hard my entire life, and I deserved to enjoy the temptations around me. I felt I was entitled to them. Thanks to money and fame, I didn't have to go far to find them. Except now, the mess I'm in." See, we live in a day when, and I'm no different. I don't say that any different than you are, but we live in a day when we want tolerances, okay? Like, if you're on the highway, you're in what state, okay, and the states vary, and they'll say, okay, speed limit is 70 miles an hour, but what's the tolerance? Well, they'll allow you 10 here, they'll allow you 5, or state of Connecticut, allow you nothing. That's the speed limit. No tolerances. But we want tolerances. Our boys operate a few transports, and they come all the way down through to Virginia on a job they do down there, and there's different tolerances for different states, and they want to know, what are our tolerances? Well, how heavy can we load this semi? And we're like that. We want to know, well, sometimes we live like, well, what, can I get away with this here in Jackson? No. Well, I can home. Oh, can you? How come I can't here? And we want to push the limits or the tolerances, if you like. Now, that only really applies in certain cases, okay? I have an aircraft getting an annual inspection right now, and I know what the tolerances are for that inspection, okay? I could easily say to Beals Aircraft Services up in Holt, Maine, forget it, don't do the compressions. They say, well, Terry would say, hey, listen, Murray, I'm sorry, I got to do them. I've got to sign this off. And there's no tolerances here. Here's what you're allowed. I've got to do it. It's an annual inspection. Do you think my mind might just change when I'm halfway across Lake Michigan at night? It's dark. And I know that things quit all night. I'll neither make either shore. I'm over the east part of eastern United States or Maine where there's no lights to be seen anywhere. I'm sitting there with a face full of gauges. Intolerances don't mean anything. And standards don't mean anything. They mean everything. I am absolutely, I can only go with that confidence that whoever did this work did it with absolute standards. So if he is the standard bearer, then to learn the standards, I read what he has written. Because he has given to us the word of God, as we've been hearing from our brother this afternoon. So when it comes to the standard, and I think my time is up 4 or 5, I forget about this, 4 or 5 or 4 or 10. I'll tell what preachers do up here, okay? You get a 5 clocks to the wall. When they're running overtime, they're looking at their own. So I'm going to go by my own just for the next 2-3 minutes here. Sorry to give that secret away, but they do work. It placed them, okay? They picked every man according to his standard. Not only did it place them, it preserved them, okay? It was a measure of preservation to them. Do you understand? Because it's not just as the shingle outside says where Christians gather to the name of the Lord Jesus. This is the gospel. All this is what expected. This is what we do. No. But it is, I am preserved by the ultimate standard bearer. And I want to be a standard bearer in whatever testimony I form a part. And I will, the strength of my bearing that standard will be linked with what I appreciate and love and know of this book. I mean, how can I love them? How can I appreciate that standard bearer without knowing something about this book? So it placed them, it preserved them. But you know something? It prepared them. When they're going to move, they watch the standard bearer. before they would pack tribe and move, they would watch that standard bearer. There are men in our Bible, let me just give you the names of Samuel. When the wars of God were to be fought, who did they go to? Samuel. When the word of God was to be taught, who did they look to? Samuel. A standard bearer has the company of mind, not himself. He lives, as we've been hearing this afternoon, a very selfless life. Is that kind of like you live? He's more interested. The standard bearer was more interested in the welfare of the tribe he represented than his own personal property, if you like. When the will of God was to be sought, who'd they go to? Samuel. David was a tremendous standard bearer. Now, I know these were men more marked, obviously, by failure, but nevertheless, they were that. But then the standard bearer, they shall be as when the standard bearer fainteth. What causes fainting in the Word of God? What causes fainting in the Word of God? Very quickly. So Bible reading, I wouldn't let you away with it. What causes fainting is an improper diet. Remember when Jehonadab was asked that subtle question that day? How is it that thou, being a king's son, art lean from day to day? You know what he's doing? He's feeding on immorality. Watch it, brethren. I'm as much into a computer as any of you here today. I can stand here and say to you today, there are no temptations to me and they haven't bothered me. And really they haven't. I've never played a game on my computers yet, but it's not Monday morning yet. Be a standard bearer. Don't faint as a standard bearer. Don't allow that. I have a lot to do with border services and protection simply because of filing flight plans. And I want to tell you something about their websites. You don't make mistakes on them, they kick you out. They time out very quickly. You're applying to fly into this country, and you've got a list of everybody's going with you, where they're going to stay, telephone numbers, passport numbers, everything else. Make one mistake, kicks you out. Do you know why? This country has learned the hard way, the costly business of an unprotected border. And she guards her borders, second to Israel likely, but tenaciously. And if it wasn't for the influence of the Jew in this country, they might not be as protected as they are, but they are. We can thank God for it. My time is gone. Ethan Couch is an ongoing trial in your country right now. Ethan Couch, Texas. You know what his defense lawyers said? You know what their argument of defense was in the state of Texas? This poor young man is the product of affluenza. What they meant was an affluent society. His parents bought him a brand new pickup truck. Ethan picked his friends up, drove around, make a long story short, went into Walmart one afternoon and stole beer. Started drinking. Went out on the road and killed four people. Left another man paralyzed for his life, another person that's not in good condition at all. The judge, however, said, we're dealing with a young man that never knew any boundaries in his life. But he said, Ethan Couch now has boundaries. He said, someone else will set them for him. And of course, defense is fighting furiously, trying to get him off. And maybe at this point in time, he's almost off. See what can happen with someone that does not have boundaries. Something to go by when it comes to that. The importance of it. So, I pass on the rest. I don't want to be like a preacher I gave a hard time to. Told us three times he's going to sit down. So when he was done preaching, I said, how many times did you sit down? He said, once. I said, what about the other two fibs you told? Can you do something for us about them? He said, what did he say? He said, only you, McCandless. Anyhow, God help us. Been a great time and a great weekend, and I just concur with what you've heard. Could I just not be impersonal, but encourage you as I look at the faces of the potential and realizing that we have young and old here today that are standard bearers. Keep at it.